Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
You're Christine. I'm Julie.
You know, Julie, what did the one buffalo who was fighting with the other buffalo say?
What?
Can't we just let bisons be bisons?
Oh, brilliant. 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 Today, speaking of bison news, or bison, depending on where you're from.
I'm from Dixon, Illinois.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I went to the chairman of our board, and his daughter
the chairman of what board, girlfriend?
The Lost Lake Utility District.
All right.
Because I'm the treasurer, and today was a very odd day. We had a...
Yes, it was a very odd day.
You had noticed that an email came through for me. I was gone. Mm-hmm. And you said, hey, someone said that they didn't get paid yet. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. What's that about? I better go check. And I'm like, what? I didn't get this bill. It's due Monday.
It's a big bill.
Yes,
for over $20,000.
Yes, it's a bond bill.
And you felt bad because as a newly inducted treasurer, it's up to you.
Yes,
and you felt like you made a mistake, and so you called the lady.
Yes,
and said, I did not receive a bill. What is going on? Did I misplace it or what? And she goes, no, we just decided to go paperless.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
And it's like,
okay. Other places have done that. And it has been creepy
yes.
in the sense that we're supposed to
think your email is so special.
Yeah.
It's one of the many that we get.
And also, most of us have systematized things now.
Yeah.
And we're not aware of things coming in or whatever.
Exactly.
And if you just decide to go paperless, you've got to give people at least a couple of months to get
into the cue. Cycle. Or at least tell me. Call me directly.
Right.
But I also wasn't in their queue for notification because this was, first time dealing with them by myself and all that stuff. So it was very interesting. But it is what it is.
You had to go and ask the president. You were talking because you needed a signature, and he was just coming back from work, and he said, this week has been a shitty week.
But he didn't say shitty. He said
a hell of a week.
Hellacious.
A hellacious week.
So he kind of upped his language a little bit, which meant in subtext, shitty, crappy, the worst week ever.
But I've been wondering, because it's not been a great week energetically in some sense for a lot of people that we know. And I don't know if it had to do with just the holidays, so people just couldn't get back into the queue, or is it because it appears as if we're coming on board in terms of the COVID.
Right.
But it doesn't, we don't really know, masks on, masks off.
Different states have different
stuff.
That
sounds like the Karate Kid, right?
Masks
on, masks off.
Mask off. We just masker.
And people are eating outside now.
Yeah.
I mean, if like a restaurant, grab and go, but they stick a chair out with a little table and
you can eat there.
Then you can. It's just, I just don't know what's
and
going on.
And you go across the state and all of a sudden everything's open and you've got signs that say, hey, just let you know, wait staff is not wearing masks.
Yeah.
So I caution at your own. Don't complain to us.
Enter at your own risk.
Yes.
And I heard someone, this was on Fox News. They were interviewing somebody in Wisconsin, the state just to the north of us.
Yes.
And they were saying, we don't have a COVID problem here. We don't believe we're not wearing masks. But if we do get it, it's because of the people from Illinois coming up here and experiencing our wonderful land, our wonderful state.
Well, you take our money, so screw you, Wisconsin.
Yes, they do.
You have no problem opening your doors as long as we have our pocketbooks open, correct? Now, I just want to let everybody know that Elliot right now is being exceptionally needy.
Yes.
I mean, he literally, we started this radio show, he was sitting up next to you.
Yes.
In a little ball.
Yes.
Just being sweet.
Because as soon as we started.
The reason why he was doing that is because I tried to get him out of the room. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to be out of the room today.
He's not the brightest bottle in the six pack.
No.
But he knew this. He knew that he was not going to, he wanted to stay in the bed.
Yep. And then he decided that he's not leaving the room.
Yeah.
And then now he's like saying, okay, not only am I not leaving the room, I'm going to be like, I'm going to put myself on the computer.
Yeah. I don't like, I don't
your
like
attention.
What you're,
it's weird because it's not a true win. he wins because our number one racer for Mercedes does something that's questionable, where he gets penalized 10 seconds. And so those 10 seconds
is what makes the race.
What makes the race.
Wow.
Which is a big, 10 seconds is huge.
Yeah.
And then what they do it
1,000.
Is that they 1,000. Pull you in when you get your tires changed and you got to sit there for 10 seconds.
That's painful.
And he's like starting going, come on, guys, this is wrong. I can't believe that. I, you know, he's like cussing up a storm, or not cussing up a storm, because he's European and very proper and very sexy in a lot of different ways. And you're just like, oh my God, you're such adorable. So I can highly recommend women, men, all people, because I'm starting to hear people talk about this Formula One, I think thanks to us.
I believe so, because we're the ones that even told Adam Carolla about it.
I know, because Adam Carolla now mentioned it like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I'm watching this Formula One thing, and it's like amazing.
Well,
and
you
like,
should have been watching it 2 months ago.
Ago when I was telling you about it, because now you've got the controversy between Mercedes, and you've got the controversy between Mercedes and Aston Martin / Red Bull team.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mercedes has this really, really beautiful guy driving, but they got a beautiful car. Like the car is just exceptionally fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, so fast. And
Red Bull.
Yeah, Red Bull's pissed because they can't beat him on their car game. And so what they do is they try and get him on technicalities. So anything they do wrong, the CEO of Red Bull, Aston Martin's like running up to the chairman and was like, knock, knock, knock. Did you see what's going on here with Mercedes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is illegal. This is legal. This has to be illegal, wouldn't you say?
Oh, Red Bull is all in it. Red Bull says we will try to win everything.
Per our driver, our car,
yes.
Or by the mistakes of other drivers.
Yes, but they don't care.
One way or another, we're getting on that damn podium.
That's right.
That podium's ours. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I kind of like that perspective too.
Yeah.
So the
you see all different strategies out
you
here.
You do.
And when we're watching the Indianapolis 500, and we're one of the, you know, the front people is Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
She's speaking.
She's not driving. No.
No, no, no. But she's got, you know, she's what, an announcer or whatever.
Just let everybody know, but she's a native Rockford person.
Rockford, just right up the road,
60 miles from us.
Yeah. And but she
and my boyfriend has had a major crush on her because she used to be a customer of his. Just let everybody know, I am 2 degrees separated from Danica Patrick. I love letting Doug think that he even had a slight chance.
Slight would be the operative word.
Yeah, I'm thinking 0.001%. I don't know. 2 points in there.
I'm thinking of that one Family Guy episode.
Yeah.
Where, who's the dad? What's the dad's name?
Peter.
Peter. Peter can't find, who's the skinny girl?
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Laura Flanagan?
Laura Flynn? Something like that.
Yeah. But she was, this was a long time ago.
Yeah. And she's going to be very, very skinny.
Yeah, she's very, very skinny. And Peter couldn't find her. He had a dream. He was sleeping with her. And yes, he found her under his belly.
Under his flap,
Well,
it's funny because, I mean, it's an iconic scene in Family Guy.
Yes,
he's like, she's cold, and she goes and hides underneath her flap. And he's like, thank you, Peter, for warming me up. See, body mass and having a higher body mass index is good for a lot of things. I mean, you don't see people living up in, you know, the Arctic and they're not like waif.
No.
Even though they're just eating fish all day.
Blubber.
Yeah. They got a little bit of meat on because they need it for their, you know,
yeah.
For it's cold out there.
Absolutely.
Come on. Give me a break.
They want their little teddy bear.
Yes. So I would have lost the bet this year if I would have put money down saying my mom will never in a million years say, it's the Indianapolis 500 day. I've got to watch it.
Turn it on, girl.
Turn that bitch on. I've been waiting for this.
I want to see people go 200 and something miles an hour.
And it's a little bit.
Do you really see something when they're going by 200 miles per hour?
It's like zoom, 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 zoom. And that's why on Netflix it's great because you see it through the perspective of the driver.
Yeah.
So you're just like, wow, this is cool. And I don't know. I think Einstein said this. If you're all going 200 miles an hour, it's like everyone's going this. It's like standing still.
Standing still. If you're just, you know, how fast are you going if you're a fly in an elevator?
you go in the same speed as the elevator, I guess. Something like that.
I don't know either.
But it is interesting because no truer words said. They said on today goes, or last night, I don't know when, they said, it's all okay going 200 miles an hour until it's not. I'm like, really? Really? And I remember Dr. Drew. The real doctor of the three. He said, the reason why those cars break apart, it's not the accidents that cause you to die. It's the stopping. Like, if you can continue the momentum down the track and you're secure in your gear.
And they usually are,
And that's why the engine, that's why everything breaks apart.
Yeah.
To keep your momentum going.
Right.
You can survive just about anything.
Right.
But it's only when you hit something and you stop real fast.
Yeah.
Your body just, you know, the
can't
insides.
Handle that.
Yeah. You can't handle it. So you want to hit something and keep flying and keep going and let the momentum just gently.
Good, Jewel. That is so good to know.
Yeah. It's good to have those things.
Yeah.
So, but one last thing I'll say, and I don't know why I'm saying it like this, but it's like, because I believe people are experiencing what I'm experiencing with Netflix. And Bill Maher confirmed this thought with me, first off, because Bill Maher had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He was gone for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
had COVID, mm-hmm. came back a little rocky. I didn't think his first show back was that great.
It wasn't.
And he had the vaccination.
He did have a vax.
And he said he didn't feel bad. He said, I felt okay. I don't
but
know.
But he sounded nasally.
He sounded nasally.
Yeah.
And now your husband woke up nasally and you're like, Norman, where'd you get COVID at?
Yeah.
Where'd you get the COVID?
Yeah.
You know, you let your guard
down.
He's coughing
and
he's
sneezing.
Yeah. And now you have the COVID. He's been vaccinated. We don't know yet, but it could just be hay fever. But
yeah,
it just feels like, oh, man.
I can't believe it after all of this.
Yeah, all of this. But what if we all just eventually just get it?
Mm-hmm.
Even if because we've had the vaccination,
right.
We don't get hospitalized, it just becomes a normal cold, no big deal.
Right.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm very cool with that. But Bill Maher, I guess was doing some TV watching while he was off of his show because he said, I'm so tired of these streaming shows making a 7-8 episode series when it should be done in 2 or 3 or just a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, amen.
Amen.
You're preaching to the choir, Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know how many times you've said that.
I'm like, this does not have to be an 8 episode thing.
Yeah. I have said that just like the other day. It's like, why did they make us do this?
I'm watching Mayor of Eastwood.
Right.
Great actors.
Good. Yeah.
But I'm into it now, and all I see are the flaws of these people.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys are all worthless people.
Yeah, exactly. Now we don't
have I don't really care about you.
Yeah.
You're not even redeeming. There's nothing redeeming about you.
Right.
But if they would have edited a lot of that shit out,
right.
They would be I'm like, oh, yeah, she did good at the
end.
We care.
We care now.
Yeah, I care now.
If it's 2 hours, we can care. If it's and 8 hours, we can't care.
Yeah, so what happens is I press play on, like, Formula One, and I turn it down, and I kind of get cozy, and I try and go to sleep, because I'm not a girl that has to sleep with the lights. I got to have some light on. I know it's horrible to have a light on, but I like to have TV.
Yeah.
One reason why is that I know I don't hear the ghosts in the house.
Which we don't have any.
No, we don't, but I don't hear them.
Right. You just don't want to hear.
I don't want to hear the. I don't want to hear the potential.
You don't like the rafters.
I don't like the rafters. Yeah, I don't like any of that stuff, and I don't like pure darkness because then I always think, what's in the darkness? Because when I meditate with a mask on, so I get pure darkness, and I go into the darkness, and I really play in the darkness into that other realm,
right?
But I don't like to sleep in the other realm.
Right.
So, which means that I am being programmed by whatever I put on in the background.
We understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in my dream, I'm thinking of like, okay, what's that band called? You know, and I'm like, I think they go, boom, the gig is up, the no, I'm finally found it, don't hesitate, just run again. I'm like, is that Kansas? Is that band called Kansas? And I'm in my mind, I'm sleeping. And I'm like, and then I wake up and I'm like, why the hell am I thinking about this song in Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching Formula One, and all of a sudden, the main head of Mercedes, I think he's Austrian or German. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The Formula One team. His first name is Toto. And I'm like, oh, you beautiful brain, you. You
just make beautiful.
You beautiful brain, you. How curious.
The Wizard of Oz. You're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
No, I'm not. No, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. And it's so funny, Mom. He looked like a Toto.
No.
But he's really tall, but he's got shaggy hair. Yeah. Dark. And I'm like going, oh, this could be. I'm like, can I put him in a basket and ride around on my bike with him? Because that would be so much fun. And then I thought, how many Wizard of Oz jokes did he have to go through?
Yeah.
Being a kid. Maybe not, because he's European.
But you wonder why his parents would do that to him.
Maybe his name is Toto Tiano. I have no idea. It's Toto for short.
So, Toto for short.
Or then I thought, oh, is it the band Toto that sang that song?
Oh.
But either one led me to Formula One.
Yeah, that's right.
There it was.
And that's the story.
Yep.
And you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it, girlfriend.
I have another story.
Tell me.
This is regarding what you and Dad, this is yesterday. You guys took our truck in, our semi, to get the, not only the tires balanced, but the front end aligned.
Yes.
So, Dad knows that other people are going to be driving the truck.
Right.
In and out of the stalls to get this done. So, at that point, he goes, I should clean my truck out. Not for you guys.
No.
Because you guys have to live in whatever Dad does in that all that space, that cubic feet of space. But so in our garage now, it's like three baskets of stuff that he took out of the truck to clean up. So we
can I just change one thing there?
Yeah,
he informed you last night that he, because he wanted to make sure that you were proud of him. He goes like, Chrissy, did you notice I went from three to two baskets? I was able to consolidate into two baskets. Now the two baskets are fuller than the first three,
right?
But,
of course,
so you know.
But to him, I should be happier.
Yeah, exactly. David,
did he think that that Doug had invited you? Or
I'll say it then. Okay, so we just had a tiny break in the podcast because I got a call from David, and telling me about, hey, do you want to do this today?
Want to go skydiving.
And I'm like, yes. But he goes, oh, so Doug told you. I'm like, yes. Because I have told them that, hey, Doug doesn't tell me jack shit. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so tell me some stuff because chances are he doesn't tell me. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, today Doug told me. Like, hey, because like 2 days ago, Doug's like happy to spend time with you today. He's been going through this mood where I just don't feel like he's happy to spend time with me. And I've been letting it go because I've got other things going on in my life where like, hey, I don't want to focus on him too much. And a day he was like, 2 days ago, he was like, hey, let's go spend Sunday together. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then today he's like, hey, let's go watch the skydivers, which he knows is one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching skydivers. Yes. And then the second thing was, hey, the kids are going to be there. And I'm like, oh, that's the reason why you want to go, because the kids are going to be there, which is fine, but it was not.
Drag you along.
I'll drag you along. Yeah. I'm like, okay, getcha. So I'm cool with all that and so forth. So we'll see.
That'd be fun.
It'll be great. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I wanted to do I wanted to go skydiving one time.
Been skydiving. And every time you say that, I got to sing the song.
I know.
In Rocky Mountain climbing.
And so you said you cannot do it. You cannot jump out of a plane.
Fu Manchu.
A perfectly good plane with a guy attached to you with one.
I'd like to have two guys attached to me right now.
Exactly. And without you watching 100 jumps done. Mm-hmm. I think I'm at 55 right now or 60. You know, I watch it. Well, I probably over 100. I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm really there anymore. Like, you get older, you don't need to jump out of an airplane.
But you like to watch it.
I do like to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm appreciative of the people that are doing it, going, you go, guys and girls. It's exciting. I just see as potentially me hurting myself, not dying, like hurting myself on the landing, hurting my arm, like somehow my arm gets trapped in the, you know, in the
parachute.
And then all of a sudden I can't drive and I can't do my responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not worth the risk for me. Mm-hmm. It's just not. Mm-hmm. But I can see, Like I said, I want to live at least one day longer than you guys. Mm-hmm. I can see maybe day two, I go in a plane and I jump out of an airplane. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's okay now. I can now jump out of this airplane. And if the good Lord sees fit that I go this way, then I go this way. The guy I'm attached to is like, are you sure, ma'am? Ma'am? I'm like, excuse me, kid. What'd you say? I would turn my hearing aid on. What'd you say, sir? I goes, are you sure you want to jump out of an airplane? I'm like, if our president, George Bush, can jump out of an airplane at 99 years old, I can jump out of an airplane at 99 years old. Because as we've said, my mom and dad are the 120-year track and so forth.
Oh, so, speaking of that.
Yeah, speaking of that.
120. Yesterday, Norm went, we had to, Norm's on blood thinners and some other pills.
Okay, yeah.
Because of his heart stuff. And so he had ordered some pills, he thought.
Yeah.
And so we've taken to going to Walmart to pick him up. Mm-hmm. But we don't go in. They have like parking spaces that say pharmacy will deliver to you. So yesterday, you know, there's a number there. We're parked in the space, and he calls, and he's, you know, I can hear the phone call, and he said, I'm in space three. What's your name? Norman, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, we don't have anything for you. What prescription were you looking for?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. Sir, what's
don't
the name,
you know?
What's the name of the drugs that you're looking for?
Cricket.
Do you know? She says, tell me. I don't really know. And then he goes like this. Don't you know? And she goes, well, no, sir. This is after he told her how old he was. She asked him what year he was born in.
Oh no.
And then all of a sudden he's just like not saying anything, and she said, well, sir, you know, you make sure now you get home. You try and have a good day. And he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, Normano, do you realize what just happened?
Oh, no. Yes, because then you realize, like, at that moment, someone is putting this senior moment on Normano.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. And I bear witness to it.
Yeah.
And I was bearing witness to the other one that, he wanted to call, I was going to say, to get his truck fixed. You know,
yeah.
He wanted to call more tires. And I said, well, yeah, just call more tires. On the car here, he was going to,
yeah.
He couldn't find his phone. I go, well, just call on our car, you know. And so he pulls over and he just looks into the steering wheel.
Mm.
And he just moves closer to the steering wheel and he goes, hello? Hello? I'm like,
get smart. Like, he's talking to his phone.
He's like expecting the steering wheel to respond.
Yes.
And then I started crying a little bit.
He's like, you know, going, oh no.
He's like, hello? Come on, steering wheel, answer me.
Well, I think, see, the problem with Normano, we keep him just enough in the dark.
Yeah.
That he doesn't know how to use anything.
Yeah, because we do everything for him.
But he knows it does do something.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. He knows that I can make a phone call by doing something to the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, the next thing I know, the phone's ringing and I'm talking on the phone. But he doesn't know exactly how it all works.
He doesn't.
But he goes like, I've seen Julie do this.
Well, you had the greatest analogy. You were talking about how Normano is the king.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is true because we have made him the king of the household. We've set him up.
Yes.
And so, like, he doesn't realize all the things that go on in his kingdom that gets done.
Right.
Like, he doesn't realize all the bills that get paid. Or, like, today we had a family budget meeting. And he's like, you guys have a lot of life insurance on me. I go, Daddy.
I like what you said to him, too.
I said, here's what you can't do. You could either die in 6 years or you can die in 36 years.
Yeah.
But you cannot die in 7 years.
You're seven. I will come and
I will come and find you in your spirit realm, and I will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I will kick your butt. He goes, but, I go, but I'm cool with you dying like 30 years later or even 20 years later. But come on. let's like, you know.
Don't do this to us.
This is when, you know, we no longer have insurance for you. Yeah. So we better have everything taken care of. Right. And, you know, he's like, that's cool. I got something to work for now.
Yeah.
Yes. Either the 6-year mark or the 36-year mark. Right. I should give him 26, not 36. I go, but nothing, not 7 or 10. Uh-uh. That would make me really pissed off. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He was all good for that.
Yeah.
He was all good
for that. But in this kingly realm,
yeah,
he just sits on his throne, mm-hmm, and just goes, oh, I'm sure all this just gets taken care of vis-a-vis, I don't know.
Well, like,
but I'm the king.
Like Christmas and
I'm the pretty, that's right.
And
or any birthday presents.
Exactly. Or any real Christmas, estate taxes, right, or real estate, yeah, ideas, or building this house, for example.
Exactly.
He just said, I think you came to the king with a proposal. Mm-hmm. King, I have a proposal for you. You know, what if we found some property and built a new house? Mm-hmm. And the king goes, Queen, I think it's a good idea.
You run know, with it.
Go get going.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then you found your princess, and you're like, hey, Princess Julie, how the hell are we going to make this work out? Like, sure, okay. And we got it done.
That's right.
And gratefully, it was before too many building codes were set in motion in the area. No, the house is solid on solid foundation.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yes. And then, but I think he really loves that about,
yeah,
his life.
Yeah.
Because I think when he realizes all the stuff that goes on
behind the scenes,
it freaks him out.
I'll say, like, he'll go, oh, by the way, did you guys get, you know, Christmas cards out? Or?
Yeah, got that out.
Or like birthday gifts and.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate that. So that. Like, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
we enjoy doing it.
We do enjoy doing it. And because we enjoy being a householder.
That's it.
And it was funny because I'm listening to this new podcast called Trust Me. And it's about these two girls in their 20s. I think in their 20s, who had been part of different cults, mm-hmm, more like religious cults. Mm-hmm. And on this one podcast, they're interviewing the youngest member of the Charles Manson cult, whatever that cult was called.
I don't know. Helter Skelter?
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. But anyway, her father mentioned that at some point he wanted to go, he loved the idea of going to California and checking out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the term back then, or check in, check out, mm-hmm, you know, the Timothy Leary stuff.
Right.
And he really wanted to be, and he said, a householder.
Mm-hmm. He did?
He didn't want to be, he wasn't materialistic.
Right.
He just wanted to live in the present moment, right, care for the house, yes, grow what you needed, yeah, and live that way.
Yeah. Well, householder is an actual, it is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's a commitment to doing that.
Right.
And we've practiced it for decades.
Yeah.
And actually have called it that.
Yes.
And even in our tagline, you know, online, we say that we're from this lineage.
Lineage of householders.
And lineage of householders.
Yes. Which I don't remember your mom being a big householder.
That's not the lineage that I'm talking about.
No, I know.
This is a different lineage.
A different lineage. Yeah, exactly. I get it. Your spiritual lineage.
Yeah, exactly.
You looked at me like, that's not the lineage. I mean, I had darts come towards me.
No, I just, I was like, my mom's no.
Not that lineage.
No.
And so, but anyway, on this Trust Me podcast, I've heard a couple of them now. And it's funny because they start off with the first episode and they're like episode 35. And I just heard it like two or three. But the first one, they interview the girl, one of the girls' name, the host name is Lola. And her mom's name is Christine Marie. I'm like, that's my mom's name. And it was fascinating to me because I'm sure she was a lot like you, you know, because the mother was Christine Marie, because they talked about how pretty she was and how much she loved God. And you always loved God. And her parents were strict, but they weren't very religious. And she craved being a part of something bigger than herself, and mm-hmm, she craved that meaning. Mm-hmm. And it ended up horribly, mm-hmm, because at the time when 17, her parents wouldn't let her go to church, mm-hmm. But they were really strict too, which is very odd. Mm-hmm. But these missionaries came through, and they were Mormon missionaries. Mm-hmm. And the day she turned 18, she went to the river and got baptized in the cold Michigan rivers, mm-hmm. and became a Mormon. And then 3 weeks later, she met a guy, and 2 weeks, another Mormon guy, and 2 weeks later, they got married, and then they had a kid, and living this Mormon life, mm-hmm. right?
Because Mormons get married very young because they are excommunicated if they have sex before marriage.
They're serious about that shit.
So they actually get married really young to have sex.
And they have no problem excommunicating people. Like, if you're Catholic, they want you to hold off, too. Because they don't believe in birth control, so they don't want, they think like, oh, that's not really great for girls to be pregnant at, 19.
Right.
Wink, wink, mom.
Sorry.
So they're like holding off, right? But if they would just, but if you do, you just got to say a couple Hail Marys and keep coming because
if only it was that easy.
Okay. But it's much harder if you're a Mormon, at least back in the day.
Right.
And it's a lot easier now to be a Catholic than it was back in the day.
Yes.
So, yeah, exactly. So they know now. It's like, hey, maybe we should loosen that idea a little bit, mm-hmm. of making mistakes and like being, redemption, mm-hmm. making redemption more part of a daily process.
Yes.
Which I'm all for because I mess up like crazy. No.
Redemption is a journey.
Redemption is a journey, exactly. But what I got out of these podcasts, so here's a kicker I thought was so sad. I'm just going to tell you about Christine Marie, this Christine Marie. Mm-hmm. So she ends up getting divorced. She ends up meeting another guy who's not a Mormon. They have premarital sex, not just once, but two or three times. And she gets kicked out of the church. Mm-hmm. She then works her way back into the church by doing all these tests and doing all these, jumping through all these hoops, because mm-hmm. I guess in the Mormon church, God gives you tons of tests to mm-hmm. do, whatever. And she said that she fell in love with the Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. not the play, because mm-hmm. I really want to see that play.
I do too.
But not the play, the mm-hmm. actual Book of Mormon. She said, I've read it many, many, many times. I love the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. And she loved having this bigger purpose for herself, right? And so, but then, and also she's cute and young and petite. And she's mm-hmm. also, I don't know if she's petite or not. That's just in my mind. She's this petite little thing. She also is like an entrepreneur. Like, and I think of her as like a Mary Kay kind of girl, mm-hmm. but for Christian stuff. Mm-hmm. And so she's doing well. And she gets hooked up with this one guy who says he's an atheist. But he kind of likes her and keeps putting the moves on her. And mm-hmm. she won't date him and she won't have sex with him. And because she works so hard to get back into the Mormon churches and back into the Mormon good graces. Mm-hmm. And finally he says, you passed the test. I'm actually a prophet of the Mormon church and I was just testing you. Mm-hmm. And I guess in the Mormon religion, she says the last book of John, mm-hmm. whatever that guy's name is,
yeah,
the one that
John Smith,
yes, like that. will be interpreted correctly before the next coming of Christ, mm-hmm. and this prophet has told Christine Marie that he has interpreted the last mm-hmm. letters of John Smith, mm-hmm. whatever, and that he is supposed to marry Christine Marie, not formally but secretively, mm-hmm. by having sex,
because that's how you get married in the old days.
And so he, and she believed him. Mm. And she goes, why wouldn't I believe him? We're always tested. God throws tests out. Think of Job. Like, holy cow, I mean, there's a lot of testing going on in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is mm-hmm. that what they call it, the Old Testament?
Yeah. Take your kid up to the mountain and execute him.
Exactly. Abraham.
Just joking.
Was Abraham?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Like, okay, God, I'm gonna take my knife and I'm gonna go in slow motion. Please stop me. And luckily, God does. That's good. And gratefully, the New Testament, more about redemption.
Yes.
Not kind of that God, which I'm grateful for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But anyway, he then ends up basically, taking her away from her kids. because he says, you know, it's too dangerous to be the prophet's wife and have children. You need to send your children
for their own safety.
For their own safety. He then later sends her away to basically become a prostitute because he says, you know,
at this tenement hotel, right?
Yeah, you have to live with the worst of the worst to bring them over, and mm-hmm. And during this time, she thinks about killing herself.
Mm-hmm. And she thinks about killing. From what I remember, okay.
Yeah.
This place that he puts her in, this is like 80% men who just get out of jail.
Yes.
So the worst of the worst. And the other 20% are like women that are over 80.
Yes.
And on Social Security or something.
Yes.
And he puts her there and she's 26 and young and beautiful.
Yes.
And basically he ends up whoring her out.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get any money or
no.
anything. She's just doing it for the profit.
And he
P-R-O-P-H-E-T.
Yeah. Uh-oh. See, she just misunderstood him. Yeah. See, I'm for profit. Oh, you're the prophet? Yes, I'm the prophet. Oh, you're so brilliant, Mama. Aww. But I feel bad. I can tell her story lightly because she's grown out, you know.
Yeah, she's an adult.
Yeah.
Making it on her own.
Yeah, you know. Making a way in the world today takes everything you got. Yes. Okay. So then she starts having these thoughts of suicide, and she tells her story to one of her new clients that come in who just gets out of jail. And he starts crying. And they kind of had this, they didn't have sex. They kind of have a rapport, and he leaves her and he goes back. And at this time also, she finds out that the prophet has taken on another wife, mm-hmm. a sister Beth, let's call her.
A real
and he's, wife. And they're calling her a real wife and not just a secretive wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's no longer the prophet's first wife. She's the prophet's lesser wife, and she's about ready. If she doesn't do this anymore, he tells her that everything you've done in the past is for nothing. And so basically she realizes that she's then kicked out of the Mormon church again and all this stuff. And she doesn't know what to do. So this convict, this ex-convict, then goes and grabs Sister Beth because she knows Sister Beth. He knows her, brings her back, and they tell her the truth, which is the prophet, he's really an atheist. He doesn't give a shit about God, doesn't care mm-hmm. about, doesn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
They're all atheists. He's mm-hmm. just doing this to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically breaks down and, you know, mm-hmm. but then is able to rebuild from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's always the low end. But it's so weird because she said this. I thought it was so profound. She goes, a lot of my Mormon friends, when I went back to the Mormon church and they took me back in, they said, how could you have been so fooled? And she said, I really wanted to know what was wrong with my brain to be so fooled.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he said exactly what the Book of Mormon was telling me was going to happen.
Right.
Which is, before Christ comes back, this last book of the, you know, John Smith will be interpreted by a prophet
mm-hmm.
who will take a wife. And I'm like, he was just fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, see, that's the thing. I think I told you last week, you know you're in a cult when they start pushing away the rest of your family and friends.
That you can't have a family or your own friends.
You can't go to work because the work environment's so toxic because they don't believe in what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Right.
And then you would do things for the group that you wouldn't do for yourself.
Right.
Like, I guess I'm willing to, you know, take one for the team. Now, we say that a lot.
Yeah.
I'll take one for the team.
We take one for Nirmano.
I'll take one for the team, but in a real bigger way,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'll sleep with newly, you know, released convicts just because my prophet said I needed to be with everybody,
yeah.
you know, or whatever.
Preaching the word.
And what the two girls were talking about, which I thought was interesting because they interviewed another person who was an actor in the next episode, because he was part of a religious cult as well, and of like five or six. And he said, you look at me and you think I was this preppy white scum, you know? He goes, the truth is, we lived in a bus. We were poverty stricken our whole lives because we were part of this religious cult.
Mm-hmm.
We had nothing. We didn't.
And probably they took everything from them. Probably.
Right. And we felt special
mm-hmm.
because the meek shall inherit the world.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to hell. And he goes, your job to, you know, he goes, I was a little kid. I remember being 7 years old, going up to kids going, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Because I can get you from, you know, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't want to go to hell, right? And like, you know, being indoctrinated in that thing. But he goes, the truth is, I felt special. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about these cults or even certain religions.
They make you feel special.
They make you feel really, really special. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you're not. You're not special.
Right.
No, or you are special, just like everybody else is special.
Right, right.
You're no more special than everybody else.
Yeah. And how's if that you feel? Start thinking that, then.
Yeah. And I.
Good clue.
Exactly. I don't know how you feel about God, but do you believe, because there are people who think that you only believe in God, not you personally, mm-hmm. that you only believe in a God because of what happens to you when you die.
Right.
That is not me at all.
No.
How do you, I mean, like, because I don't
totally know. Agree.
Yeah.
God is the God of the living.
Yeah.
I'm like, all the way around.
All the way around. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
You're living now, and then you're, when you, you're living in your flesh body, and then you'll live in your spiritual body.
Yeah.
And so God is the God of the living. Both ways.
Yeah. And so I don't know what happens after. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the experience is. Mm-hmm. I have faith that there's something beyond this world.
Right.
That's the key.
That you have faith.
And I have faith, and I have had spiritual moments, and I have all this stuff that keep bringing up more and more evidence.
Right.
That's anecdotal. But I truly believe what I believe because it makes my daily life better.
Right. And in scripture, the one in scripture is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
So faith is substance and faith is evidence. So you can never tell somebody that, you know, oh, here's my defining thing, because faith is simply faith. And also people that you know that are atheists have faith.
Yeah.
They just have it in a different direction.
And this one woman said,
they
she
have
goes,
faith that there's nothing on the other side.
She said, Lola, or the other girl goes, I didn't have faith anymore. In our cult, we believed. It wasn't faith. Mm-hmm. We believed. Like, we knew without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it wasn't just faith. Like, we had, it's like Constantine, the movie Constantine, when mm-hmm. he's talking to Archangel Michael. Mm-hmm. And she goes, like, Constantine, you don't have faith that there's an afterlife or that there's a God. Mm-hmm. You know there's a God because you've seen it.
Right.
And there's a difference.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like once that thing appears, mm-hmm. it's no longer faith-based.
Right.
It's evidence-based. And it just goes, now what's your next thing you got to have faith for?
Right.
It's already been, it's here. Like, great. Right. Thank God.
Well, also, I remember, I don't remember it was the Holy Spirit or one of the things that I was, when I was meditating, it said, because you've had tasted this life, now you have the hunger for it.
Yes.
And I believe that. You must, once you've tasted it, how can you not be hungry for it?
How can you not be hungry for it? Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's a good point. And I thought that was interesting hearing them talk because they also talked about how special they all felt. Mm-hmm. And that when their eyes were cleansed from this cult, they realized they weren't that special. It was a little heartbreaking because even the mm-hmm. little kids, when they go, I was bullied as a little kid, but I felt so special because I knew they were all aww. Going to hell and I was going to heaven.
Well, when I was growing up.
I was picked by God specifically.
Yeah, when we were walking to school,
we
would go past a public grade school to get to our Catholic.
The heathens.
Yeah. Well, we were told that even though that our school was on the same side of the street as the public school, we had to cross the street because it would be too hard for us to catch the demons or whatever from the people that did not believe in. And we had to cross the street, which is dangerous as hell.
I'm sure.
It's a busy street. And walk to get to our school and then cross the street back.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome though. It's like all the things they indoctrinate you. I mean, like Catholicism.
Did you think you were special? You had to walk across.
I thought I was special.
Yeah.
That was really special. Yeah. And this one host says, when I realized as an adult that how not special I was, I had to work twice as hard. I'm like, I gotta be special some other way.
Yeah.
And the only way I'm gonna do that is by working twice as hard as everybody else and doing everything else. And they talk, which is interesting. They talk about cult moments they have through the course of the week where they see evidence of things being cult-like. Hmm. Like one of the hosts had a date with a celebrity and she goes, it felt very culty because he wanted everybody to treat him a certain way, not very real or normal. Mm-hmm. And you realize that, you know, right now, like QAnon, that's a cult-like thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you dare say that, you know, Trump didn't have the election stolen from him, you're banished.
You have your slogan. You know?
It's crazy, you know, and you're just like, oh, okay, I get you. I don't know if you want to tell another story right now.
Well, I wanted to have you tell a little bit. I wanted to go with the teddy bear story.
The teddy bear story?
Only because I just find it, I think it's sweet. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with the story.
Okay,
this was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Dad came home and he walked through the door and he has in his arm this big teddy bear. It's probably about 3 feet tall and thick. And it was muddy and dirty.
Yes.
And this was unusual.
Yes.
And just to say the least.
Thank you.
That dad walks in with a teddy bear.
This was an odd situation for your father to come in through a teddy bear. Okay, good.
With a dirty teddy bear.
Good.
So the story went that he had run over this teddy bear on the highway, and somehow he had dragged it for over 150 miles.
In
the
semi. Yeah.
And so when he came to a stop and he checked under the hood or wherever he picked it up at, and he found this teddy bear.
Yeah.
And he realized that it had been several hundred miles between stops. So he knew that this had been a long ride. So he put it in his truck and he brought it home. And so we decided to clean it up because it was so cute.
He's wearing overalls.
Yeah, he's got overalls.
He's a farmer.
Yeah. And
his little paw is signed by somebody.
It's so sweet. And so we cleaned it up and we put him back in the truck. So he goes, he wanted to ride so bad in this truck.
Yes.
You know, that he's now the passenger.
Yes. We've given this animal human qualities, which for better or for worse.
Yeah. So he's been a passenger for 3 years.
Yes.
And then, I was relaying the story where Dad was going to more tires and he wanted to clean the truck out. So that because he knows other people will drive it at that point. And he put the teddy bear was in one of the baskets.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so we call more tires at the very end and say, oh, is our truck done?
Yeah.
And they say something like, did he tell you that some accident happened to it?
Oh, yeah. They had told me that.
And they damaged the rim.
They took the semi out without tightening all the lug nuts. And therefore, damage some studs and damage the rim of the wheel.
Wait, a rim is like $500 bucks, easy.
It's not cheap, yes. No.
And then a tire is over $1,500. And so we're like, Julie goes, well, obviously it's your issue. And they're like, well, not really.
Yeah, like, what?
And so we were like, oh my God, why is this negative thing happening to us? And we realized that the teddy bear is not in the truck.
Our good luck charm we took out of the truck.
Yeah, which that we took out and put him in the garage.
Yes.
So we go to drive to the more tires and we have the teddy bear with us.
Heck yeah, we do.
And we put the teddy bear back in the truck and then we go in and they say, oh, that was a mistake.
That's right. He goes, oh, that wasn't. He goes, I don't know who told you that, but that wasn't the right truck. And I'm like, wait a minute. And like, you told me, like, no, it didn't happen. Your truck's good to go. It's perfect. And I'm like, holy cow.
Thank you, little teddy bear.
Thank you, little teddy bear. You worked your magic, changed the reality, and now all is good in the world.
Now he's back in the seat again.
I got him in the passenger seat now.
Yeah.
He used to be in the sleeper, just hanging out, sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's actually taken a pretty prominent role.
Right.
Which is it's not uncommon for truckers to have a stuffed animal in their passenger seat.
No, exactly.
I don't know why that is, but it is.
Yeah.
That or a doggy.
Yeah.
You know? You know what you don't have anymore, though?
A stuffed doggy.
Yeah. No. Yes. Lot lizards. I don't see lot lizards anymore.
No.
And I'm like, you know, that's great. You know?
Probably because they know how little truckers get paid now.
Oh, maybe that's it.
They don't have a 20 on them.
But if I'm not mistaken, back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, they were like, it was a thing.
It was always
a thing. You would see prostitutes going to truck stops and prostitutes going to.
Right.
But I just don't see that ever.
Well, I've been, you know, sometimes when we were first trucking, I'd be in back of the sleeper.
Yeah.
And Norm would be in the front. And I'd hear, you know, women come up, knock on the door and Norman would say, oh, you know, my wife's in the back.
Oh, sorry, sir. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, an extra 20.
I'm in there for a throuple.
And you're like, not tonight, girlfriend. Keep it moving. Yeah. No judgment. No judgment.
Just a throuple.
Yeah. You know, speaking of no judgment.
Dad asked me yesterday, because we were talking about us being a threesome, you know?
Yeah.
And Dad goes, well, what's one more than a couple? And I went, really, Norm?
Yeah. Do not hear us.
Thruple.
Thruple. Couple thruple. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's a new terminology. Let's get hip. Well, you know.
Hello? Hello? Steering wheel?
Can you answer the phone? Hello? What medicines do I take? Please
tell me. Oh, magic steering wheel. If I shake you, will you?
I think as the king, you're supposed to do as I say.
Yes.
Bring in the magician. Bring in the magician. So anyway, the new Friends reunion dropped on HBO Max.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see it yet. But they're talking about it a little bit. And so I watched a couple episodes of Friends the other day. And it was like near the last episode and Brad Pitt was on it. Yeah.
Oh, can I tell you something real quick? I did not see Friends the first time around.
No, I didn't either.
Just curious, just to tell
you. No, just say, just throw that out there. No, neither one of us are friend watchers.
Yeah.
We thought it was incestual.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're just all just basically having big orgies.
Six people intermingling.
Yeah. All really cute, attractive. Great. I want to feel this good about my life. But I think, because it's what's weird is that it's not, it's slightly woke, but not very woke.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it cute that the new generations just love this Friends show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very popular with the younger kids. And what's funny about it, like this one, it was like near the end of the season. And they're talking about how Ross, which is Rachel's...
brother?
No, that's...
baby daddy?
Monica's... Yeah, baby daddy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. And Brad Pitt comes back. And they all went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt, I don't know what his name is, call him Jeff. Jeff and Ross were in this club called the Rachel Hating Club.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so they hated... And they had a rumor started. They started a rumor that Rachel was both man and woman, and that her parents just decided to raise her as a girl, and that she still had a teeny weeny weeny.
No.
A teeny meeny weeny. And I'm like, and I go, this is funny, but this is also like, I wonder if this could get written today.
Yeah.
Because would it be trans shaming?
Yeah.
I mean, like, would that scene at all be written today?
Well,
and
like,
they're bullying.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, like, even...
Can I say one more thing, though?
Yeah.
And then Monica goes, listen, Rachel, you weren't that great. You started a rumor about Ross. And she's like, what was it? Goes, that he was caught making out with the 50-year-old librarian. And they're like, oh, and Ross goes, oh, how'd you know? Because he goes, I saw you. And he goes, everybody knew? He goes, yes. And then they started making fun about how old people were at 50. And I'm like, F you guys. I'm like, and that like, oh, she, you know, I'm like, I'm sure she was cute as a young woman, but didn't she walk with a cane? And I'm like, oh my God, sometimes I walk with a cane because my knee hurts. Yes.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I just felt like, I'm just not sure if this episode
could fly.
But yet it was funny. Like, you know what? Life.
It's so funny that nothing can, like they said, even Snow White couldn't be written because, you know, he had to kiss her while she was asleep and she, you know, without asking permission.
Yeah.
And now is that canceled?
Well, that's the thing,
too. Snow White has been canceled.
ER is on Pop now. And that was that show in the 90s, ER, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dated. And now that I've been to the emergency room a couple times, like, I don't know what emergency room they're working in. It looks like Afghanistan, like during wartime, because I'm like, our emergency room is very calm, quiet. You know, I'm like, you're just not getting the volume that ER is.
Everybody's in there that just wants more painkillers.
Exactly.
Painkillers.
And but they're talking about how if you're gay, you got to keep it quiet, you know, and women can't be good doctors and have children. And you're like, what the hell? And I'm like, you know, we've gotten better.
We're
getting better.
Yeah.
And we're going to move to the beyond the point where
I know
it
women,
doesn't
women
matter.
Had to be, if they were doctors and they had children, they had to be super moms, you know, like, and now it's just like, well, no, I'm having a baby. I'm taking off 6 months.
Yeah. And then I'm good. Then I'll work part time.
Yeah.
And you'll be grateful.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Why not?
Yeah, right. That's
sure. Fine. Yeah. And the truth is, a guy who doesn't want to, and the guy can do the two.
Yeah.
He can stay home as well. And it's, and if not, you know, he's like grateful to get out of the house and go, you know, and all this stuff. So it's just, I'm acknowledging that the world has gotten better.
In some respects.
In some respects.
Yeah.
And I know we're almost out of time, but I will say on this new Sam Harris Waking Up podcast.
Yeah. There was a guy that got canceled on it.
Yes, I'm going to say his name was.
And this was in 2016. So
Antonio Garcia Martinez. He wrote
Antonio
the book.
Antonio Garcia Martinez got canceled in 2016.
No, he got canceled today. Recently
from a book he wrote in 2016
called Chaos Monkeys.
Yes,
and Chaos Monkeys was his memoir. Chaos Monkeys: Obscene Fortune and Random Failure, and it was on the New York Times bestseller list, Wall Street Journal bestseller list, and as well as the NPR Best Books of 2016. And still, he managed to get canceled today because he made a comment about
within his book, which is sort of a loosely veiled memoir, but it's a fiction.
Yeah, it's sort of like a million different pieces.
Yeah. Fiction/ nonfiction.
It's mostly his tale, but he put a lot of his own stuff in it. He goes, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because now they caught me.
But
and
in one
little small passage that was taken out, he mentions how women aren't as good in tech as men, or they don't really like tech as much as men.
From his perspective. In 2016.
Something like that. He also made a few offhanded comments about his baby mama, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't repeat the comments. I'm like, please tell me the comments. Mm-hmm. Please tell me the comments. And on the other hand, I'm like, I don't care, because it was a book. I mean, books are... I don't want to read a watered down book.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Everything is so watered down now.
And so
nobody can have an opinion without getting canceled.
He just recently decided to no longer be an author and go back into the tech world.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed with Apple for over a month just as a regular guy. I don't know what position he was going to get, but a regular position.
Mm-hmm.
He got hired, and then within 2 days, 2,000 people from Apple signed a petition saying that he doesn't belong in our facility, our business because of that book.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired him and said, and he goes, the thing I disagree with them the most about is they fired him because, he goes, they fired me because I didn't do a good enough job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I didn't do any job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have.
But that was their excuse.
That was their excuse.
Yeah.
I was literally hired one day and fired the next. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
It's scary.
That's why you got to be an entrepreneur.
That's why.
That's why Sam, what I appreciate about Sam, when he said, when I set myself up, I set myself up as an entrepreneur that is uncancelable.
Exactly.
And that's how he set it up. And it was smart of him.
Sure.
Because that guy is if you want to, he'll tell you the truth, how he sees it. Thank God there's still a place that you can do that.
Yeah, I think Sam Harris, because he's an atheist.
Right.
Not even questionable.
No.
He's not even agnostic.
He's the best atheist. I wish some Christians were as good as him.
That's how I do my life.
Yeah.
I want to be an atheist. I want to be me with my religious beliefs, with the temperament and morality of Sam.
Right.
And then Jordan as well.
Yeah, I would say spiritual beliefs more than religious beliefs.
Yes, exactly.
You probably think?
Yeah,
I think so too.
I'm still working it out, girlfriend.
Yeah.
God's not finished with me yet. So, girlfriend, how's the show?
I've been skydiving. I've been Rocky Mountain climbing. What else? And I did a horse. No, I didn't do the horse, but I
rode a horse.
Rode a horse. called Fu Manchu.
Yes. And so how was the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great.